Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Kuvvav and Aleph, three lines down. Gemara begins with the story, which is actually from the Gemara in Yoma, in the 8th Perek. It makes reference to that Gemara, so me and Yonah de Yoma a little bit. It says, Ki Atar Ravdimi. Ravdimi came, Amar Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Rishonim hi chilu basar chazir. Because of Mayim Rishonim, someone ended up eating the meat of a pig. Achonim, because of a problem with Mayim Achonim, a woman was sent away, divorced from her husband. Rabin has a different version of the story. Remember, Rav Dimi and Rabin are coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, reporting generally on what Rabbi Yochanan had said at that time in Eretz Yisrael. So you have one report of the story based on Rav Dimi. Then Rabin has the other report, which is Amar, Rishonim hechilu basar nevela. A lack of concern about my Rishonim ended up with someone eating basar nevela. Achronim irguat nefesh. And somebody who wasn't makpid on Mayim Achonim ended up with someone dead. So I'm a Rav Nachman, Simanech. Siman, to remember who said which, is Ata Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came along, Afko, the woman got divorced. Ata Ravin comes along, and then Katlo, she was killed. So we know, as Rashi points out over here, that they knew that Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael before Ravin. So that's they knew. So now they knew he was first. So they said, what happens first? You can only get divorced first and then killed. You can't get killed and then divorced. So that's how you remember the order of their opinions. Rabbi Abba Matni, Chad Mihani, V'Chad Mihani L'Chumra. Rabbi Abba had this story, but he had it in a way where it always went the Chumra. It means that he took the Chumra of the two stories. Obviously, the Chumra in the story of the Mayim Achronim is that the woman ends up dead. So that would be the Chumra in that story. Chumra in the first story is between Basar Chazir and Nevela. By Nevela, you only have one Isur. By Basar Chazir, you have the Isur of Tmeyah plus the Isur of Nevela, so you have two Isurim. So that would be the Chumra. What is the story? So the Mayim Rishonim story, it actually comes up in Yoma, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Bet, the story. It's also in the Midrash Rabbah, in Balak. It's in Parak Chav, Parsha Chav Aleph, in the Midrash Rabbah. On Balak also brings a story, a version of the story. The first, the version of the story about the Mayim Rishonim, is that in the time of Gezerat Hashmad, the Jews were unable to keep the mitzvot. They had to do everything privately. They couldn't, in public, keep mitzvot. One of those mitzvot that they were banned from keeping was kosher meat. So individuals would come into this butcher, this restaurant, and then they would order meat from the individual. The person served kosher meat and non-kosher meat. How did he know who to serve kosher meat and non-kosher meat to? He would see, he would offer them bread, and whoever went to wash before they took the bread, he'd know that they were Jewish customers. So an individual comes in, he serves them meat, and he charges them 800 shekel for the meat that he served them on that day. Next day he comes back, and he serves them meat, and he says it's 1,000 shekel. Wait a minute, yesterday you gave me it for 800 shekel, why is it 1,000 shekel today? He says, I don't know, today you got kosher meat. Yesterday was Basar Chazir. He goes, what do you mean? I'm a Jew. How could you sell me Basar Chazir yesterday? He said, I saw you come in yesterday. I gave you bread and you didn't wash your hands. So you didn't wash your hands. I thought you were non-Jew. So I gave you the Basar Chazir or the Basar Nevela, depending on the story. And that's why it was the meat that you ate yesterday was the cheaper meat. Today, I saw you wash your hands or you told me you were Jews. I gave you the more expensive meat. You got the 1,000 shekel meat. So that's what the Gemara says. Mayim Rishonim. Someone was not makpid on Mayim Rishonim. And did they have eating basar nevela or basar chazir? That's the first story. The second story about Mayim Achronim, this is actually different versions in the Midrash Rabbah versus the Gemara and Yoma. Midrash Rabbah version is a simple version where an individual had eaten dinner, and he forgot to wash his mouth after dinner, and he still had the lentils he had from dinner were still caked on his mouth, around his mouth. His person sees him out in the shuk, walking around, and he sees that he has lentils on his mouth. The guy heads back to his house, says to his wife, listen, your husband told me that you should give me the ring that he's holding on to, and the siman he told me to give you was that he ate lentils for dinner. So she goes, oh, how does he know he ate lentils for dinner? It must be that my husband told him to send him. He hands him the ring, and he walks off with the ring. The husband comes back later and goes, where's the ring? She goes, well, you sent someone over to pick it up. He says, no, I didn't. And the woman either gets end up being divorced or killed by the husband. That's a story in Midrash Rabbah. Story in Gemara and Yoma is actually an interesting story. It's a story of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yehuda were traveling, and they decided to stay over at an inn, bed and breakfast, for the night. The name of the person, the host, was Kedor. So Rabbi Meir says over there, I don't trust this guy. because he was Dorish Shema, he was Dorish the names, and he says, Kidor Tapuchol Tema. So that's a negative term. Since it's a negative term, I'm not going to leave my wallet with this guy. This guy's not trustworthy. So Rav Meir refuses to put his wallet with this guy. Instead, he goes into the cemetery and places it by the head of this guy's father's grave. He leaves it over there. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi give their wallets to this guy. That night he has a dream. Kidor has a dream. And his father comes to him in a dream and says, come over to my grave. I got a wallet waiting for you. So he wakes up in the morning, tells the Rabbanan the story, and they say, dreams are just made up. They're not real. They're imaginary. Don't worry about it. Rabbi Meir then sits by the grave the rest of the day to make sure that his wallet doesn't disappear. That night, they go to pick up their stuff. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda asks for their wallets, and he says, lo yedvarim olam, what wallets? I don't know anything about the wallets. And they're like, oh my gosh. So they said to Rabbi Meir, how did you know? He says, oh, Shema Garim, I knew that, Kitor, why didn't you tell us? He says, no, I was willing to be choshesh the guy, but I'm not going to slander him based on his name. So I would say, for myself, I said, okay, but for you, I said, whatever you guys want to do. Now they don't have their wallets. That night they saw him, and when he had told them, lo yedvarim olam, they saw that he had some lentils around his mouth. So he goes out that night. They go up to his wife and said, listen, your husband told us that you should give back the wallets to us. And the siman that he gave us is that you had lentils for dinner. So the woman gives back, his wife gives back the wallets to them. So they get their wallets back and they leave. Obviously the husband returns, finds out, and either kills his wife or divorces his wife. The three of them go on to the next inn. And the name of the innkeeper isn't such a good name either, so they don't stay there that night either. But that's the story in Yoma. So those are the two stories, but really focusing on the importance of Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, which is that Mayim Roshim were identification of a person as a Jew, and therefore he ended up eating Basar Chazir, Basar Nevela when he was not Makpid on him. And then Mayim Achronim, either Hotziyo to Isha or Hargat and Isha, that the woman was either killed or divorced because of them, which is person was a Makpid and Mayim Achronim, and therefore this terrible thing happened. Now, I don't think it's this person who we're talking about is not such a nice person, but the idea being that to be Makpid and Mayim Achronim, is these two areas are very important to focus on and not to just let them slide. Now, as we saw before, for different reasons, Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah. Mitzvah l'shmo l'divrei chachamim, it's because of sracha truma, and we do make a bracha on it. Mayim Achronim is a problem of sakana. Because of the sakana, we say that you should do it, and we're more Makpid on it. The Gemara in Erevin says that's one of the four things that when you, a machaneh goes out to war, that we say you can be mvater, you can give up on Mayim Rishonim, but Mayim Achronim don't give up on. There's a machloket amongst the Rishonim. If this is a two-stage process, is there also Kedusha involved in Mayim Achronim plus Sakana, or is it just Sakana? And that's the question, if you eliminate the Sakana, for instance, Melech Sodomi goes away, do you still have a requirement for Mayim Achronim? If you say that it's all about the sakana, about the smelach stomit, like the Tosfot suggests over here, once that goes away, we say, fine, you don't have to do Mayim Achronim. On the other hand, if you believe there's two layers there, there's a layer of Kedusha, which is that you have to wash your hands for bracha in order to take off the Zuma. The Gemara in Brachot has a statement like that. The Gemara says that just like a Kohanim can't duchen or can't go in and do avodah when they're Zahum, they also can't do a bracha when their hands are dirty and you have to wash your hands before you bench. So you see there's that level of Kedusha involved, not only the level of Sakana. So even when you eliminate the Sakana, there's still the level of Zuma left, which is why some of the Rishonim, number one, believe that you still have to do Mayim Achronim even when there's no Melech Sodomit. And number two is that they believe you might even have to make a bracha on it. The right vote brings down, and there's some of the Geonim that suggest that there's actually a bracha on Mayim Achronim, al Rechitzat Yadayim, not Netilat, but Rechitzat Yadayim. There is a bracha, there are others that say no bracha on it because it's all mishum sakana, it's for the benefit of the individual. It's not a mitzvah that we're keeping, but all the benefit accrues to the individual's personal benefit, it's for the individual himself. There are others like the Rambam who says that there's a 1 in a million chance that you could get melech sodomit, because of that it's worth doing Mayim Achronim. There are others like the Gro who thinks that the dispensation not to do it by melech sodomit is only by a machaneh, and not by cases where you otherwise would not be under duress. When you're not under duress, he says there's no reason not to do it. And there are others that think that there's more spiritual, heavenly reasons to do it, which is that we do many mitzvot. We know some of the reasons, we don't know all the reasons. Therefore, there's a value in keeping it, even if we don't see the Iker Tam of Melech Sodomit anymore. That's just the Mayim Achronim.
What's the number of the hands have to get to the mouth for?
It's for both. Mayim Achronim is for both. It's a washing of the hands and the mouth. And there are obviously those that say, which I'm more makvid, I don't think a lot of people makvid on, but I also wash my hands, don't just the little thing that you tip onto the hands, but rather it should be washing, a significant washing of the hands so that you have a bracha and for the mouth also, that not just tip of water onto your hands.
Tosfos, of course, is the
Anushayin Noam. Right. Tosfos who says, Tosfos is the Kashita that says that we don't really do this anymore. There is a Shita amongst the Gaonim that separates between the Mevarich and the Shomim, that whether they, only the Mevarech is Chayiv before the Bracha, the others are not Chayiv after the Bracha, it's very interesting. Machloket, but the Shulchan Aruch brings down at first, Mayim Rishonim is Chova, then at the end of the Simon, he brings down that, Yesh Noagim Lahakel, that we don't do it anymore. Then he says, but really you should keep it, and Hamach we talk about Bracha, and the Mishnah Berurah writes over there that he thinks that it's very good reason, he doesn't see any reason why, for such a little expense, that people shouldn't do Mayim Achronim, especially given that there's a large number of Rishonim that believe that it's still in effect, and the Gra believes that it's still in effect. There's no reason just to throw away Mayim Achronim unless you're under duress, where you don't have water, the situations or circumstances where you might be Mekil. Oh, Itmar. So now we're going to spend the rest of the daf really on Mayim Rishonim now, which is Chamei Or. When it comes to water that has been boiled, water that is placed on the fire, Chizki Amar Ein Odli Mehen LeYadayim. You can't use them to wash your hands. V'Yochan Amar Ein Odli Mehen LeYadayim. You can use them to wash your hands. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, she'alti et Rabbi Gamliel benosh Rabbi, Gamliel the son of Rabbi, v'ochel teharot, he was a person who now ate chulin al tarat kodesh, v'armelin, kol gudele galil osimkein. All the great people of the Galil, they washed their hands with hot water, things that had been heated over the fire, and they washed their hands with that, and it's not a problem whatsoever. I was going to mention afterwards, but I'll mention now that the hot water over here, we pask in the halacha is that Yatzel let it bo. We saw that in yesterday's daf, that Yatzel let it bo you can use even for Mayim Rishonim. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah writes over there that we favor people not doing that and staying away from it because the likelihood that a person is going to wash their hands correctly when the water is Yatzel let it bo is very low. Because if your hand's going to recoil from it, how well are you going to wash the hands? And therefore, he encourages people, with there's a choice, to let the water cool down or to use cold water and not to use the hot water because it's just not likely that you're going to wash them well with really hot water. The distinction drawn in the Gemara yesterday was between hot water used for Mayim Rishonim, which is mutar, but for Mayim Achronim, which is not mutar because of the risks there. It softens the hands, it opens the pores, and that might allow the stomach to go into the hands, and therefore the Gemara dissuaded you using the hot water for Mayim Achronim, as opposed to here by Mayim Rishonim, where they were matir. Rashi says over here that Upoligad de'el, v'chizkiya tanuhu. Right? She says over here that Chizki argues on the Gemara that we had yesterday that said that you can be notel Mayim Rishonim with the Chamei Or. Here, Chizkiya says no. Rashi says Chizkiya is a Tana, and he can argue on the Braita. Now, it's obviously very difficult for a number of reasons, one of which is that the machloket here is between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's an Amora. And so why would you have Rabbi Yochanan the Amora arguing with Chizkiya the Tana? So Rashi just shifts the problem from being, okay, he's arguing on a Braita to saying, no, Chizkiya is a Tana. But then you have Rabbi Yochanan who's arguing with Chizkiya. You could say Rabbi Yochanan's relying on the Braita that we had yesterday, and therefore he has a Tana that supports his position. Tosfot says that Ubichinam Perisha Kudjus came, that Rashi didn't have to do that, because if you remember from the Gemara yesterday, there were two Lishonot in the Gemara as to where the restriction of Chamei Or was. One of the restrictions said that Chamei Or, water was not allowed for Mayim Rishonim. The second Lashon said it wasn't allowed for Mayim Achronim, but was allowed for Mayim Rishonim. It says that Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan could just fit into the two different Lashonot in the Braita. Depending on which Lashon you have to explain the Braita, would then determine which opinion you have. And therefore, Chizki could be an Amora, and just follow the first Lashon of the Braita. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan will be following the second Lashon of the Braita, and he discards Rashi's understanding here that Chizki is a Tano. Now we have Chamei Tveria. What's the din the gabei Chamei Tveria? Chizki mar ein lotnim behem leyadayim. You're not allowed to wash your hands out of Chamei Tveria. Aval matbilim behem yadayim. You can't dip your hands in. There are two ways to cleanse your hands. One way to cleanse your hands is to actually wash netilat yadayim. It has all the things, all the requirements of netilat yadayim. The other way to do it is to dip your hands in a mikveh. Like you would go your whole body into a mikveh, you can dip your hands into the mikveh and be machshir them. Now there's certain requirements in Chazal, they're not really relevant to us, but in Tuman Tara, where they do require you to do Tvila Tudaim and not Nitila Tudaim. But today, Tvila Tudaim can replace Nitila Tudaim if necessary. Yeah, it would be Al Tvila Tudaim, not Al Nitila Tudaim, correct. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol gufot tovel behen. You're allowed to use them as a mikveh. Avalo panov yadav ragalav. But you can't put your hands, your feet, and your face into them, which seems to be incongruous. How could it be that you can use it as a mikveh for your whole body, and it's not kosher for your hands? Somebody says, hashta kol gufot tovel behen, panov yadav ragalav, kosher came. Yadav is just a derivative of the fact that you can put your whole body in there. Being able to do tefillat yadayim is because it works with tefillat kol gufot. So amar papa, bim koman dukuli amalo pligi deshari. In their place, meaning if you have a live spring, chametz veria, mutar, no problem. The mishko minayu bimono, on the other hand, if you take them out with a kli, dukuli amapigla de asir, then they're problematic. So if you go and do a tvila, whether it's yadayim or kol gufo, in the live springs of chametz veria, fine. If you take them out with a kli, then we don't accept that. That's problematic because he talk on rabban and netila la bechamim tikun lahu b'shat because they never had a shat kosher. As opposed to other waters, where when you boil the water up, at one point the water was cool, and therefore it was part of the original takana that allows you to do netila tiyadayim with them. So even if you warm them up or heat them up afterwards, it's fine. But waters that were heated from their core, meaning they never were not cold, there, chazal, we're not mitakin to use them for netila tiyadayim. Therefore, if you remove the chametz veria and pour them on your hands, they're not going to work for netila tiyadayim. So that's the two sides. In place, they can be used as a mikveh. Then they're functioning in place as a mikveh. When they're in location, they're functioning as a mikveh, and then you can go in with your gufo or your hands, and you're fine. If you take them out to use them for netila tiyadayim, that's outside the boundary of the takanat chachamim by netila tiyadayim that use water, because these aren't classified as regular water, because they're hot water. And hot water we allow when they were once cold water, but if it was always hot water, we don't have the dispensation for that. So those are the two extremes. The middle case, and this is what they're arguing about, kiplige, the paskinu ba birto. He has a channel that leaves off of the main spring of the chametz veria. Mar sevir gazina ba birto atumano. One of them says there were gozer this outlet because of the case of mono, the case of a kli where you take it out entirely. Mar sevir lo gazrinin. Now obviously technically they should be fine. I mean that anything that's a channel or drawn off the mikveh, it's still attached to the mikveh, as Rashi says, they should be fine in terms of mikveh. Me'ikar adin, this is a fine mikveh, and they're connected to the mikveh, it shouldn't be a problem at all. Problem is, because where gozer otu. Otu, the fact that you took them off on a channel, makes it look like you're taking them out like a kli, and therefore gozer otu. The other one says, no, we're not gozer otu. And this is a ketanai, similar to another machloket tanaim that we have. Maim shenif silu mishtiat behema. Water that is no longer ra'ui for an animal to drink. Bikelim, if you take it out in a keli, pasul. Bekarka, as long as it remains in the ground, then it's fine. So the same thing that we saw in chametz veria. If for tzvila, to go into the mikveh, there's no qualification in terms of quality of water. Quality of water is irrelevant when it comes to going to the mikveh. In terms of netila yadayim, it has to be mayim. And if it's not, animals will not drink this water anymore, it's now disqualified from being water for netila yadayim. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Af bekarko tovel behen, if they're in the ground, it can be tovel on them, kol gufo, his whole body, avalo panav yadav raglav, similar to the statement we saw from Rabbi Yochanan before, I'm going to ask the same question, hashka kol gufo tovel behen, yadav raglav, panav yadav raglav, lo koshke, certainly he should be able to do the other parts of tefillah, elav de paskinu bevapirta, it's the same situation we had before, which he has this water, which is not potable water, and it's not potable water, but he draws it off a channel from the mikveh. And Baha Pligi, the Marsever Gazrin and Papir to Atumono, Bachov's been the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Elazar is, are we gozer on this channel or not? Is this channel qualified like a mikveh? That's the Tanakama, it's like a full-fledged mikveh. Or, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, no, we're gozer on that channel. If you want to use it as a mikveh, fine, but if you're going to put your yadayim in it, then we're worried about netilat yadayim, and we're gozer Atumono. Marsever lo Gazrinin. That would be the case here, and that's true in netilat yadayim. Any water that is not potable water, you cannot use for netilat yadayim. As well as hot water, we said before, is fine if it's chamei or, not if it's chamei tveria, using it for netila. If you're doing tvila directly into the chamei tveria, that's fine. That's not a problem at all. In terms of tvila into mayim suchim, you have the same thing. If you're in the original body of the mikveh, then you're fine. If you draw a channel off of it, then you have this question of the gzeira. Tosfot over here discusses what it means not to be potable water, in terms of why it's problematic. He says that in other places we talk about it being non-potable because there's tit mix in it. He says over there it's because the thickness of the tit makes it non-potable. Whereas in our case over here, the Gemara is talking about that there's still clear water, but it's mius misarche, that it's disgusting. There's two different problems that you can have with water but not being potable. One is that it doesn't have consistency of water. and it has other sediments and cements mixed in, plasters mixed into it, and therefore it's not even called water anymore. And that's definitely pasul. Over here, we're talking something that's still water. It's just not potable. It's disgusting. It smells. It's putrid. So people won't drink it. So it's still water because it has the consistency. It looks like water. It's just something that is not something you would want to go near or anybody want to drink. And therefore, it might be disqualified for that reason. So you have two different reasons that you would disqualify water. But now the Gemara continues. Amar Ravidi Brav, and Amar Bisog Ba'ishian, Tilat Yadayim L'chulin Mipnei Srach Truma. So here it is. Here's the reason for Netilat Yadayim. It's because of Srach Truma, which means that we're worried about the fact that people will eat Truma. For Truma, you have to wash Yadayim, because Yadayim, Stam Yadayim, are Shniot L'tuma. And they can create a Shlishi L'tuma in Truma. So you have to wash your hands prior to eating Truma. So he goes there on Chulin Otu Truma. Make it so that the Gzera stood. If we just were goes there on Ochle Truma and the Kohanim, the Gzera wouldn't have taken hold. So he put the Gzera on everybody that for all Chulin, we make you wash. Now we only did it by bread, because that's the Iker consumption. The Iker consumption of people is bread, and the Iker consumption of Truma is also going to be in this area of bread, because that's the question again in terms of Trumot and Masrot. There are only a number of items midoraita that are Chayav in Trumot and Masrot, and that is Tvua, Gefen, and Shemen. Right, those are the things, or Yayin and Shemen. Those are the three things midoraita. So in terms of core issues for eating, that's going to be bread, and that's where the Gzeiro was made. So because of Sarach Truma. Alright, so that's the reason for Netilat Yadayim Rishonim, the Od, Mishum Mitzvah. In addition to that, there's also a mitzvah to do. So one says, my mitzvah. What mitzvah do you have in addition to this? Tarbayim, mitzvah of the Shmoa, Divrei Chachamim. That there's a mitzvah to listen to the words of the Chachamim, meaning that they're the ones who mitaken it, so you should listen to them. So there's a reason to do it just because the Chachamim said it, period. And then on top of that, there happens to be a reason behind the reason that they were mitaken it, which is this idea of Sarach Shuma. Rav Amar, mitzvah of the Divrei, Rav Elazar ben Arach. It's a mitzvah to listen to Rav Elazar ben Arach. That's why there's a mitzvah here, which is dichtiv. And the suggestion here is that it's a din d'oraita. Chol asher yiga bo azav v'yadav lo shotaf b'mayim. Anything that the zav comes in contact with, and he didn't wash his hands, Amar Rav Elazar ben Arach. Mikan samchu chachamim netilat yadayim min haTorah. Here you see that there is netilat yadayim min haTorah, because it says v'yadav lo shotaf b'mayim. The reason is that he didn't wash his hands. That's why there's a problem over here. Obviously, it's not a problem. Kan samchu, that this is the source in the Torah for netilat yadayim, is from this idea that lo shat yadav lo shatav b'mayim. And the reason is that it has to be separated out, because obviously, kol shiyigav bo azav, zav, whether he washes his hands or not, it's irrelevant because he's a zav, his whole body emanates tuma. So what is it, lo shatav b'mayim? We have to say that's a separate din of yadav lo shatav b'mayim, or kol shiyigav bo azav, both of those are going to be tamei. So that shows you that if you just washed your hands, if he wasn't a zav, that would get rid of a certain level of tuma. And that's the din d'oraita that we're learning from over here. So they challenge.
But we're learning from it, but it manifests itself as the rabbanim by.
Right, that's the Gemara is going to say that in a second. Rava amar d'oraita, Rashi says, mitzvah ki Rav Elazar ben Arach. That's a din d'oraita. It comes from the Torah. Tosfos doesn't go that far. He says that it's an asmachta, not a full-fledged drosha. He says over here that it's the word asmachu al-kra is an indication of asmachta, not a real din d'oraita. But from the latter half of the Gemara, it's probably what pushed Rashi to go in the other way, which is, Amar le rov l'rav Nachman, my mashma dichtiv v'yadav lo shotaf amayim, hashatav tohor. Wait, if he washed his hands, then it'd be tohor. Hatzvilo boy, azav can't be tohor just because he washes his hands. He needs a full-fledged tevila. Elachi kamar, this is what he must be saying, v'acher shelo shotaf tamei. Someone else who didn't do this is tamei.
Rashi
suggests that this latter half of the Gemara is Elohochi Kamar is Anogeb Azav, Omisha Inusho Tevet Yadav, Shneem Tameim, Usmachta Ba'almonu. That the Gemara went through a transition. What's the difference between the first half and the second half? Rashi says the first half of the suggestion is Doraito. The answer, Elohochi Kamar, is that it's only an Asmachta. So that would explain it. Tosfos thinks that it's an Asmachta all the way through. The first part telling you that it's Asmachta. The second one is explaining how you learn it out of the Pasuk. What's the asmachta from the pasuk at all? How could you have it? That's you separate between the yadav lo shatav b'mayim. It's not relevant to a zav. Therefore, we separate it out and say, okay, you also have a separate din of tuma that's lo shatav b'mayim. So that's the difference between the way Rashi is learning and Tosfot learning, whether there's any aspect of doraita over here. And so now, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Yoshaya, lo amru nitilat yadayim leperot, ela mishum nikiyut. Person should wash their hands for perot, for cleanliness. There's no din of a mitzvah, it's just a din. You want to have clean hands before you eat your perot. Sabar mina chovahu, deleka ha-mitzvahika. Okay, there's no obligation to wash your hands, but at least there's a mitzvah to wash your hands. Amar Rav, lo chovah, velo mitzvah, la reshut. There's no obligation, there's no mitzvah, it's optional. Upligi the Rav Nachman. This argues on Rav Nachman. Damar Rav Nachman. This is the way we pass an halacha. Another tell you, tell the perot. Enuel migase ruach. Anybody washes their hands to eat perot, that's a sign of haughtiness. And Rashi says, v'asur din hogat tzmo begasuta ruach. You're not allowed to act this way. There's no dispensation with this. It's mechzek yura. Mechzek yura is something that is not even considered a chumrah that is worthwhile keeping. It's something that's beyond the pale. It's so beyond the pale that if you do it, we think that that's an act of haughtiness. Someone who says, oh, I'm so good that I wash my hands for perot. That's generally the practice, that we don't wash our hands for perot, at least not publicly and not for a bracha. But there are those that brought down that do wash their hands for perot, but in a quiet manner without a bracha. In the night of the Seder, but that's because you're dipping. They're being tovel. There might be a difference. When you involve liquids, there might be a requirement of washing your hands as opposed to dry fruits that you're talking about. Right now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bechana, Abakamina Kame, the Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Aitu Lukamayu, Kilkula de Pere. They brought in front of them a basket full of fruit, Vachlu. They ate from it. Velo Mashu Daya, they didn't wash their hands. Velo Yavimidim, and they didn't offer me any either. Ubarich, Chad Chad Bechudei. And then they said a Bracha Achrona on it. Shmami Natalat. From this, we can come to three conclusions. Shomina, in it's that you dime the perot, which is why it's relevant to our Gemara over here. Obviously, you didn't wash your hands to eat the fruits. You don't have to wash your hands to eat fruit. Shomina, in mizamnim ala perot. Next thing is that you don't make a mizuman on perot, because if they wanted to make a mizuman, they should have given me some fruit, and then they would have had a mizuman over there. The fact that they didn't offer me any fruit shows you that they wouldn't have had a mizuman even if they offered me the fruit. Having a third person eat the fruit would not have brought about a mizuman. It's machlokes tanaim in the Gemara and Brachot. Whether you make on the Shivat Aminim, whether you make a bracha birkat hamazon, a bracha mein shalosh, machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah in Brachot. Here he's saying to you, the halacha is that by perot, ein mizamin ala perot. Alright, so Tosfot asks someone along the lines of your question, we'll get to in a second. Shvamina, shnaim shachlu, two people eat together, mitzvah lichalik. It's a mitzvah for them to break up. I mean, one of them should not bench for the other, but rather each one should bench by themselves. They should break up. Tanya Nami Yochel, we have a bright that supports that. Shnaim she'achlu mitzvah lechalik. Two people eat together, they should bench each individually. But med, Dvarim Amurim, what are we talking about over here? Shayu Shneim Sofrim, if they're both knowledgeable. V'chad Sofer v'chad Bur, if one of them is knowledgeable and one of them is an ignoramus, then Sofer Mevrechu Bur Yotzei. Then obviously the only way for the Bur to be Yotzei is if they Sofer actually says the benching out loud, and they're both Yotzei through that. Now the Tosfot, there's a very, very large Tosfot over here, dealing somewhat along the lines of David's question. The first one is, Teim Alari. Minole, the mitzvah lechalek, demle reshut. Who says you have to split up? Maybe it's optional, whether you split up or not. This happens to relate to the Gemara in Shlosh Shachlu and in Ketzim Mevarchim. There the Amoraim actually have a Havamina that you might have to do a Mizuman by two people, not just by three people. That the Mishnah says you only have three. But in the Amoraim, there's a Deyot that you would have to do Mizuman even for two. Now, nobody has that Deyot, the Gabe Perot. It's only by bread that people have a Deyot that you would have a Mizuman by two and not just by three. So it tells us I don't understand the transition. Once they establish by perot that you don't have to have a mizumin, then of course shnayim yochalku, because there's nothing left when you have two left by perot. So Tosfos rewords the questioning or the flow of the Gemara in order to make it make sense over here. And that's, he says, if you look on the top of the next Amud, it's three lines down in the Tosfot. Hakiyomar, in mizamin ala perot. We don't make a mizumin on the perot. That's the machloket tanaim in the Gemara, in Brachot, about whether you make a mizumin or not. So there's the first conclusion. Now, bakati liyodinen miyachol lizamin bishnayim bepat, oh, by perot, I feel the begimel. All right, so I know that they didn't buy perot when it was three. In chiluk by perot, ben gimel the bet. I know there's no difference between three and two, because they would have included me. But I still don't know, first of all, if you can be mizamin with three by perot, or if you can buy two by bread, can you make a mizumin? So, ela, midborich, kol echad chad v'chudei, since each one that benched alone, shvamino, the mitzvah lechalek, that there is no mizumin. There is no mezumin when you have two people, or three by perot, or two by bread. There is no mezumin. Then they bring the brayta, So now we know that you should bench yourself. Now, on top of that, how do I know when you should break it up and not have a mezumen, that you should also bench on your own? That's what the Tanaka Nami Halki comes. The Braita comes to add that additional factor, that when you're two, not only are you not a mezumen, but you shouldn't bench one for the other. So that's the stages of the Gemara over here. The Gemara first establishes that there's no difference between three people eating peirot, two people eating peirot. That's number one. The second thing they establish is that there is no mezumen on three peirot, and no mezumen on two people who wash for bread. There is no mezumen there, and therefore break up. You don't have to stay together. Number three that we learn out, and that's from the Braita, is that when you bench, when you have more than one person in benching there together, don't have one bench for the other. And Tosafot asks a very basic question I don't understand. He says, by bracha rishona, we say one person makes a bracha for everyone else. By bracha achrona, we're saying no, that you can only make a bracha for yourself. Why is it that you can't make a bracha for someone else? What's the difference between a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona? So Tosafot says, because by a bracha rishona, there's a starting gate. And he says this, very interesting. Yesh lomar, deshani bracha v'lehatchila, shekol echad marviach ba'oto bracha. Everybody benefits from the bracha, she'adei kein mutarim lechol v'lehanot. You can't eat, and you can't get hanoh from mugmar and other things, until the bracha is made. So the bracha is like the starting gate. It's a matzir that lets everybody. So everybody's at the same point. And therefore, there's a kviut created by the fact that they were all in the same circumstance and in the same position at the same timing. Until the bracha is made, nobody can pass this point. And that gives us a kviut together that if one person makes the bracha, that we can be motzi everybody else. Because of that, mitzarfim. They're able to be mitzaref. That because of that, you're allowed to be mitzaref together by bracha rishona. That is not true by bracha achrona. By bracha achrona, everybody has to bench, but we're not all governed by the same moment. We can bench at whatever time we want, when we're finished, when we're done. There is no gating concern that brings us together, except for mezumen. If you have a mezumen, then you will have the din that one person can bench for everyone. That's part or chelik of the mezuman, is that not only do you say nivareich, but you also then could have one person bench for everybody. But if there's no mezumen that's koveya, in terms of putting us all together in the same category, in the same position, then there's not that kviut that brings us together. Obviating that because of this other consideration of kviut, we're saying that the Rovam is not as relevant. So Tosafot says that you need a seba on their day. Without a seba, it wasn't a kviut. And today we only sit. We don't even do kviut there. Tosafot in Bracha says that our sitting is like their haseba. So I don't know how he gets around that. But over here he's suggesting that there are a number of factors that make it that we are not koveya in terms of bracha achrona, but we are koveya for bracha rishona.
Rishona, you see kiddush, right?
Kiddush we do by hamotzi.
But also there is a joint thing with the bathrooms.
Right, but we could bench. We don't have to. You mean that's only if you wait until that moment. We'll be only locked in. But I'm saying, right? We could bench. I could continue eating. You could stop eating. I mean, there's nothing that governs that we have to end at the same moment. Mezumen, it will be different. That will say that we can be joined together. All right, so that's the Tosafot over here. The next piece of the Gemara is very short, but it leads to massive machloket rishonim and has major nafkaminot in terms of what we do today on a daily basis as well as what we just did on Yom HaKippurim, which is Tan Rabbanan. Netilat Yadayim L'Chulim Ad HaPerek. Netilat Yadayim for Chulin is until the Perek, till the joint. Lit Truma, to the Truma, to wash for Truma is also Ad HaPerek, to the joint. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim B'Mikdash, you're washing your hands to do Avodah in the Mikdash, Ad HaPerek, is also until the joint. B'chol Davarach Shechotzeitz B'Tvilah, B'Guf, Chotzeitz B'Netilat Yadayim L'Chulin. Anything that would be problematic in terms of going to the mikveh, in terms of a chatzitza, the din of chatzitza is that it has to be something that is makpid aleha, covers an area, plus you would be makpid to take it off. So because of that, anything that would be problematic in terms of going to the mikveh will also be problematic in terms of kol davar she'enu makpid alav enu chotzeitz. So anything that you are makpid on will be chotzeitz. And the removal of rings, which also be in this category. If it's a problem for the mikveh, it's going to be a problem for netilat yadayim. So that's the true netilat yadayim b'kiddush yadayim raglayim mikdash. All right, that's a simple statement over here. Tosefta says three times the word perek. It says perek for chulin, perek for tshuma, and perek for kiddush yadayim raglayim mikdash. Now, truthfully, if it wanted to say the same location for all of them, it would have categorized them all together. It would say, Chulin, Truma, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, Ad HaPerek. The fact that it separates them out means that we're talking about a different perek in each of these instances. And that's what Rashi says. It's progressively a higher perek. He says by the first perek for Chulin, Rashi says until the perek HaSheni. Now the Perek HaSheni here would be, if you count on your fingers, the Perek HaSheni is you have the first bend in the finger and the second one. The one is that is common to all fingers, including your thumb. Your thumb has that same bend there, which is the first. The joint here at your fingers where your fingers bend, the second joint, which is above, between the knuckles and the first joint on your finger, and your fingertips, that bend, plus on the thumb, the same one that you have, the equivalent of what you would have on your thumb, that's the second joint, that's where until where you have to wash for chulin. Shuma is at a perek hashlishi, the third joint, which is your knuckles, as Rashi describes when you hit the gavayad, when you hit the point where the fingers attach to the palm of your hand, the back of your hand. So that would be for shuma. Kiddush yadayim reglayim. Right, so we're not including the thumb. Right, exactly, the thumb is on the odd man out, but it's the reason that he went to the second joint is because if you go to the first joint, the thumb is out. The thumb doesn't have a first joint like that. The thumb only has the equivalent of a second joint. And that's why he went right for the first one to the second joint. The third joint being for truma is until your knuckles. The kiddush yadayim reglayim b'mikdash perek is the fourth joint, which is the wrist. That's what Rashi describes over here, is just ad ha elyon mekom chibur yad ve'azroa. Connection between the hand and the forearm. So that's the connection. That's where you would have for kiddush yadayim reglayim v'raglayim. Rashi's explanation of the Gemara again. The for chulin, you only need up to the second joint on your fingers, which is the first joint on your thumb. For truma, you need it up to your knuckles, and then up to your wrist for the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So now, Amarav, ad kan, I'll come back and discuss the machlok rishonim. I'm just going to read the Gemara now according to Rashi, so you have at least one solid shot, and then we can come back and discuss the other rishonim. Amarav, ad kan l'chulin, ad kan l'truma. Rav says, okay, there are two different locations, a location for chulin and a location for truma. Shmuel Amar, ad kan ben l'chulin, ben l'truma l'chumra. That when it comes to chulin and truma, they have the same location, and it's l'chumra. Meaning that we made truma and chulin equivalent. Why, what does that equivalent mean? Where was truma? According to Rashi, truma is up to the knuckles. The chulin was only up to the second joint on your fingers. If I'm going to make them the chumrah, that means I make chulin and truma up to the knuckles. That's where you would have to do netilat yadayim, according to Shmuel. Rav Sheshit Amar, ad kan ben the chulin, ben the truma, l'kula. Rav Sheshit says, no, chulin and truma are equivalent, but l'kula. L'kula being the second joint on your fingers. So Gemara says, Amar bar hadaya hava kamina kamei de Rabbi Ami. I was in front of Rabbi Ami, but Amar ad kan ben the chulin, ben the truma, l'chumra. That he said at the chumra up to the knuckles. Velo tamer Rabbi Ami mishum dekoinu. Don't say that it's Rabbi Ami said that because he's a Kohen. So he had to wash up to his knuckles anyway because he was going to have to eat truma. And therefore he said, like, let me get everybody else on board. Everybody else should have washed up to their knuckles as well. That's not the reason. Da'ad Rabbi Maisha Barberei, to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who Levi. Maisha Barberei, the grandson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who was a Levi. Varamar, ad kan ben l'chulin ben l'chuma, l'chumra. He went l'chumra. So you have a Levi saying that who's not eating truma. So you see that it's not just about being a Kohen and I want to get everybody on board to have the chulin until that point. But we even have memrot from Shmuel. We have a memra from Rabbi Maisha Barberei to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that for the goal of chumra, when it comes to going all the way to the knuckles, even by chulin. Amarav, notel adam et yishtei yadav shacharit. Person can wash his hands in the morning. And that could be a t'nai that they are good for use all day. So Amar lo, Rabbi Avina, the b'nei, pakto, the arvot, kigon, the atzun, the lo shkicha luchu mayin. So these people, the bika of this, pakta is a bika, the valley of arvot, wherever this place is, and they don't have a lot of water there. Atun lo shkicha luchu mayin, that we don't have a lot of water. Mashu daichem min safra, wash your hands in the morning. Tunu alayhu, and make it an eye on it. The kuliyoma, and that you can do for all day. Ikedamri, some say that is bishatatchak, in. That's only when you have a difficult situation. Shalom bishatatchak glo. If you're not in a difficult circumstance, we don't try to use this. Upligid the Rav, and it's arguing on Rav's statement before, who says that you can be matne without any qualification. Ikedamri, afilu shalom bishatatchak nami. That this statement of Rabbi Yevina was even Shlomo Shatachak, behind Rav, and this is following the position of Rav. So now we have two halachot which are important. One is how far do you have to wash your hands up to? And the other one being that you can make a t'nai in the morning. Once you wash your hands, the problem of having to wash your hands again is hesach hadat, is that you're going to release from your mind, you're going to forget about your hands. The making the t'nai in the morning makes an acute awareness about your hands. You say, I'm going to use this washing for the entire day. So because of that, you have a more acute awareness about your hands, and you focus and keep in mind that you don't want to lose that status of your hands, and therefore that netilat yadayim will work through the day because of that more acute awareness about your hand, And therefore you won't have to wash again. The Rambam has such a suggestion by washing for tefillah that a Kohen who has to go up to Duchen will not have to wash again. He washes for tefillah in the beginning, that can work for Shachris, then he could Duchen in the davening without any problem because of the same concept. You wash once, he's not Misiach Dat, he's davening, it's not a problem, he doesn't have to wash again. We're not knowing that way, but well, usually what ends up happening is the Kohanim take their shoes off during davening, and so they end up dirtying their hands, and therefore they have to wash again. So my brother-in-law told me that he saw there was an elderly Kohen in his shul who couldn't make it all the way out to the sink and back. So he assumed, and that he washed once in the beginning, and then he dukhin all over the Yom Kippur with that one washing. Right, there are a lot of things that, restrictions that you have. You come into contact, you touch your shoes, you do anything, you touch anything on the ground, you're gonna have to wash again anyways. Oh, no, but that's just hezek hadat, that's not really. You can pick up it, you can pick up a salt shaker, you can do, you go get the kitchen, get the salt shaker, get a knife.
That's
because of hezek hadat, because as long as you're involved with bread, we don't think you're gonna be meseach hadat. If you start doing things besides that, then we start to worry about it. Correct. Right. I heard that from Shechter also, that tying your shoelaces, if shoelaces are generally clean, and they don't go and they're not in muddy places, dirty places, that's not considered touching your shoes. Touching your shoes is the parts that are exposed to dirt. And then make your hands dirty, that's what makes your hands problematic, not just stop touching your shoes. But a Kohen has to release his shoe, he has to take it off. If you're not kicking him off, and he takes him off in a way that he would have to then wash his hands. A couple of things in Tosafot. One of these is about this chatzitza for tevilah. It's an unbelievable statement. He says, "Bechol davar shechotzeis b'tevilah chotzeis b'mitzad yadayim." He quotes Hiksha, Harabi Rav Abraham ben Harav Rav Moshe. Who's that?
Rav Moshe.
I don't know. Tosaf is quoting him. It's interesting that the Tosaf would quote. They barely quote the Rambam. I forget about. They're quoting Rabbi Avram ben Rav Moshe. Sounds like Rabbi Avram ben Rav Moshe ben Maimon. I don't know if it's the same individual, but here you have a Tosaf quote. Tosefta mikvah Tanya. Perkzayin kol chotzeitz bekelim chotzeitz benida ubegir b'shat tvila ubechulin ein chotzitzin. We have a Tosefta that says that there is no chatzitza when it comes to netilat yadayim like by mikveh. It's a different din. So why does our Gemara say it's the same din? So he differentiates. He says yesh lomar dehoch ari be'achilo. That when it comes to achilo, then there is. Over there is I meant negiyah, touching. So when you talk about coming into contact with tumah, then when you go into wash your hands, then the hands have a lower standard than mikveh. When it comes to eating, they're on the same standard as mikveh, that'll be differentiation. That's why we are makbid. Like all the dinim and mikveh, we're makbid by our hands when we go to wash. That's one. The second thing is, Tosfos brings another pshat. Beno tam perish. Ad kan l'chulin is until the perek harishon. That when he said ad kan l'chulin, it meant up to the first perek over here. And that means for Truma would be here. And then for Kiddush Yadayim Ragalayim would only be up to your knuckles. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains it. And then you have another interpretation about in the Feresh Moshe Perish a Rabbi Rabba Avram. Again, I don't know if this is the same Rabbi Avram they mentioned before, but not like this. The Chulin ad perek shlishi d'etzbot. Chulin goes until the third etzbot, which is your knuckles. Truma until your wrists. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, until your elbow, arakoda. That's what he suggests, that those are the three levels. Tosfos spends time on that, whether it's really true. One of his proofs is actually, we learned this in the Gemara about the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna, where they used to tire and put on the belt, the abnate, they used to tire in the place where Atzilei Yadav reached. To the point that the Atzilei Yadayim reached, Atzilei Yadayim was where the elbow reached alongside your body, that's where they used to tie the belt around, where the elbow reached on the body. So that was something he tries to prove here, that Atzilei Yadav, that's used here, it does not mean Beit HaShechi, and is not what he's interpreting over here, and the Marpek and the Atzil are all one thing, and therefore he wants to reject that pshat. The Rif does hold of that pshat, and says, in Ochanami, that the washing for Chulin is until the wrist. And so when the Mechaber brings down the Olocho, he brings it down in this way. Shir netil yadayim kol ayad, ada kane shel azroa. The whole hand, until you reach the forearm. V'yesh omrim, ad makom chibur etzvot l'kaf hayad, which is the knuckles. V'roi l'inhag kin hadat vishon. It's good to do the minhag like the first one. Now truthfully, in the Iker day, on the Berel Lacha brings it down, most of the shitot say until the knuckles. Rova Rishonim say that you only go up until the knuckles. And that is why, when it comes to Yom Kippurim and Tisha B'Av, where there is a restriction against washing Yadayim, over there we go a la Rova Rishonim. Like Rashi over here, Tosafot, all the Rishonim that are saying until the knuckles is where the Netilat Yadayim for Chulin is. And therefore, we're not going to go. Even one who says the Chumra here, who puts Truma and Chulin in the same place, that's until the knuckles. And therefore, when we have an offsetting force, which is don't wash your hands, we're going to go with the robe of Rishonim and say only up to your knuckles. But where we don't have that consideration, and it's not a big deal to wash up to your wrist, it's not such a big deal to do it, it's not a lot of extra expenditure and difficulty, then we're going to wash up to the wrist. And that's what he brings down here in the Beralocha. He says, "Lashon zeh mashma v'tzara din yesh lahakel kedat shniya." Mikra din, tuhu adat harbe poskim. That's the din of most poskim. Rashi, Tosafot, the Rosh, the Adgama Rishonim. It's good to do like the Rif or the Rabbi Avram that's brought down over here. It's not such a big difficulty, it's not a big deal. Nothing nafshem biplokten, out of that you get out of it. Ukamosh kata bebeit Yosef. Oh, leoniyo dati yesh leyan beze ikra din. This is in my corner of my opinion, I don't even know if the ikra din is this way. Today, the Beit Yosef cut of the debate the Rambam ain't achreya. It's not clear from the Rambam what the din is. Kvar kadav b'sefer Marmar Mordechai it's be'emet. Muchach mipashtut devarav the sober kadat the Rif. But the Rambam holds like the Rif. Miyachtav istam ad aperek. If that's the case, then you have the Rif and the Rambam saying ad aperek. You have the Rosh saying until the knuckles. It's two out of three saying until the wrist. Miyachtav istam ad aperek. Val kochav the guys kiyus the Rif. Ad aperek. Lolam hu makom yuchad. Tuchibar gara yadu kne azara. Deal of the data tosvot to siyatam ayolu lefresh at ezu perek. Moshe Daiku came, but Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, Barosh, Mishon Arif, Shasatam came. Gamar har Rabbeinu Yochanan also severely came. Rabbeinu Yochanan says the same thing. Moshe Kodav Rabbeinu Yonah. Gamar Rash was severely hoche, the Dina Kedat Arif. So I have a lot of Rishonim. You think the Rabbeinu Rishonim only say up until the knuckles. I have a lot of Rishonim that say all the way up until the wrist. And so my question is, I don't even know if the Rikur Din is really up to the knuckles. Maybe the Rikur Din should be all the way up to the wrist.
How does that affect like in Nunim?
So there, the question of Inuim are that you cannot wash your hands for Hana'ah, you can't wash your hands for functional things. If someone gets dirty on Yom Kippur, their hands get soiled, you can wash it off, not because it's giving you Hana'ah, but because you're removing the dirt from the hands, which you're allowed to do. You come into contact with bacteria, come into contact with something that's poisonous. You can wash your hand because you're removing something, you're not getting Hana'ah. So same thing over there with the Yadayim. You can wash up. The problem is if the Ikar Din is until the knuckle, and we only do as a Chumrah up to the wrist, then the extra part could be for Hana'ah, because then you're not doing what's considered to be the Ikar Din. That's why we don't go up to the wrist, we only do up to the knuckles, because we don't want to, if we go over that, that already involves Hana'ah, because we're not doing it because it's demanded of us. So the Beral Lachas is Nian. Lachen Yerali, the Chayim Kol Adam Lehog, came Midina, Alo Mitam Chumra. You have to wash up to your wrist, because that's the Din, not because it's a Chumra. To look Moshe Riti, Miksad Rachmanim, Shekadu, Anod Ken Tzirich Lad, no, Sheino Sekin, the Yikuv, Tam Chumra, because otherwise become a Ned there, you don't want to do it. But the Miksad Ramon, Shem Shachim, Akrei Adin Azim, Mazal Zalim, Shalai Tol Yudim, Kim Ad Makom Chibra Etzvot. And there's some people who are just mezalzel and midil tidaim only do up to the knuckles. And yet the bechalam mezalzelay b'nitzel tidaim avhem yechashvu. Ad kan l'shenomi. Kol makom nireh. And yet the deed the somech lahakel adei ashniyah v'shatat chak. She'en omayim im ochim biyado. That if it's a shatat chak, then the kama rishonim kaimi v'shitazu. You have a lot of rishonim that also hold that. V'alo heima Rashi Tosafot the Rosh v'chenim tzev gam esmak Mordechai Ritva shepod aleket marshal. V'ada od yom noagim haolam kedei rishonah l'tov kol hayad. If you're going to wash up to your wrist, then don't be skimpy on the water. So you should that it might be that the din of revit, which is sufficient, is talking about when you're talking about up to the knuckles. But if you're going to do it up to your wrist, maybe you should take more than a revit, which is, you should distinguish between, if you're going to do more of your hand, you need more water, and make sure that you are pouring a large part of water over your hands. Again, by the Oraita, by Tisha B'Av, the issues, we say, we go back to those Rishonim that say we wash up to the knuckles and not up to the wrist. Okay, we'll stop over here.